Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier, the saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire, and the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Hello again, this is Buck Benny speaking. It's 2020. If it is 2020 for you, then we have had quite a while, about a month, where we focused on Christmas shows and haven't played Fort Laramie. So here's our first episode of Fort Laramie in quite a while. Of course, starring Raymond Burr, wonderful actor. The sound quality on these just floor me every time I listen to them. Probably the best sounding show we have. I mean, just gorgeous. Anyway, today's episode is written by John Dunkel, and John Dunkel already wrote one. He wrote Squaw Man a few episodes back, and he'll write one more episode, I believe, for a total of three. Now, John Dunkel was a prolific writer through the 40s and the 1950s for radio, and then switched over to television and was extremely prolific in television. He wrote for probably just about every Western show you can think of. I've got a list of them here. Oh, I'm going to read you. Let's see, what should I read? I think I'll read you some of the shows he wrote, and then we'll go from there. So let me just get over here. So here is on IMDb, they have some of the things he wrote. He wrote 25 episodes of Gunsmoke for television. He wrote 24 episodes, I think, of Rawhide. He wrote a few episodes of Wagon Train. Jane Wyman Presents the Fireside Theater. Broken Arrow, he wrote quite a few. Looks like about 8 episodes. He wrote a play from 1945 called Tiger Woman. He wrote an episode of Celebrity Playhouse. Kind of an interesting one that he wrote. He wrote one episode of One Step Beyond. I don't know if it was a Western episode. He loved writing Westerns. He wrote for The Rifleman, The Law of the Plainsman, Laramie, which is different than Fort Laramie. He wrote about, looks like 5 episodes of that. Life and Legend of Wyatt Earp. He wrote like 8 episodes of that show. He wrote for Bonanza. He wrote for Big Valley. He wrote a few episodes for Custer. He wrote episodes of The Virginian. He wrote episodes of The Waltons. Looks like his last work before he retired was in 1978. He wrote for a show, never heard of before, but it would be interesting to see what the show was about. He wrote 2 episodes of Grandpa Goes to Washington. I don't know what that was in 1978, but it sounds interesting. Let me read his obituary from Los Angeles Times. I thought this was interesting. He was 86 when he passed away. A writer of such television Western series as Gunsmoke and Rawhide, born in Springfield, Ohio, and educated at Wittenberg University, Dunkel came to Southern California in the 1930s and worked at the Pasadena Playhouse. He was a writer for CBS Radio before moving into television. Personally enamored of the Western genre, Dunkel hiked and camped throughout the Sierra and collected rare books about the West. During the 1950s and 1960s, he contributed scripts for such series as Big Valley, Bonanza, The Virginian, and High Chaparral. In 1956 and 1961, the Writers Guild of America nominated him for awards for episodes of the series Gunsmoke, Rawhide, and Broken Arrow. In 1960 and 61, the National Cowboy Hall of Fame in Oklahoma City gave Dunkel its Western Heritage Award for episodes of Rawhide. In retirement, he was a commodore of the Santa Monica Yacht Club. He passed away February 22nd, 2001. And so, anyway, and he had a heart attack. That's how he passed away. Neat to have some episodes from John Dunkel. Interesting to have a writer that did so many things. This episode is interesting because it has a very strong female part. And I've noticed that in Fort Laramie, there are just strong parts for men, but there's also a lot of strong female roles as well. So I hope you're going to enjoy this episode from writer John Dunkel and the whole gang at Fort Laramie. And we'll start bringing them to you every week again. So enjoy.
At the gallop!
Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier, the saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire, and the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
"83 men for duty. Hardy and Simmons in the hospital. 5 men on leave, Captain."
"All right, Corporal Mercer. Just leave the morning report on the desk."
"Yes, sir. One of the 3 new men is transferred out here from Fort Larned. Been assigned a 2nd platoon, sir."
"Come in."
"Captain Quince, the supply train's on its way in."
"Oh, good."
"Lieutenant Syberts is sending the train on to the quartermaster's depot, but he said he'd be right here."
"All right, thanks, Jenkins."
"Oh. Supply train in from the railroad at Cheyenne, Captain. All stores as ordered."
"Anything to report, Mr. Syberts?"
"Cracked hub, 2 mules lame, 1 destroyed, otherwise routine, sir."
"Your command have a good time in Cheyenne?"
"I think they did. I noticed a few skin knuckles."
"Any complaints from the civilian authorities?"
"No, sir."
"All right, Syberts. Sign out to the quartermaster. Water and turn your stock out in the South Range. Dismiss your men. They're relieved from further duty until..." "What's that buggy doing in your train?"
"Oh, I was going to tell you about that, sir. We had a passenger, a lady."
"Lady?"
"A Mrs. Wentner. She's the widow of an officer who was stationed here."
"Well, that must have been Captain Wentner."
"Said he was killed by a Cheyenne."
"Well, that's right. 3-4 years ago up in Lance Creek. His whole command was wiped out."
"That was before my time. I wonder what she's doing here."
"She didn't tell you?"
"No, sir. Handsome woman."
"I take it you enjoyed your trip then, Mr. Syberts."
"Not bad, sir." "May I give you a hand, ma'am?"
"Thank you."
"Ms. Wentner, I'm Captain Quince. Welcome to Fort Laramie."
"How do you do, Captain? Are you the post commandant?"
"No, ma'am. That would be Major Daggett. We didn't expect you, Mrs. Wentner. Perhaps your letter was delayed."
"There was no letter. I told no one I was coming."
"If we had, we might have arranged a more fitting reception and better transportation."
"This was quite satisfactory. I rented the horse and buggy in Cheyenne, and the lieutenant furnished me a driver." "You were very considerate, Lieutenant Syberts."
"Thank you, Mrs. Wentner. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll get back to the train."
"Of course. Thank you, Lieutenant."
"Pleasure, ma'am."
"If you'll come with me, Mrs. Wentner, I'll take you in to meet Major Daggett."
"All right, Captain. Thank you."
"Take care of the horse and buggy, Jenkins."
"Yes, sir."
"Did you know my husband, Captain Quince?"
"Why, yes."
"Out here?"
"That's right."
"I don't remember him mentioning you in his letters, but it seems to me there was a Quince in his class at West Point."
"Oh, I wasn't at the Point, Mrs. Wentner. I was commissioned in the field at Shenandoah. Up from the ranks."
"Oh, I see."
Here we are."
"Come in."
"Oh, Major Daggett, this is Mrs. Wentner. Just came in with a supply train.
Oh, this is a pleasure, Mrs. Wintner.
That's right, Major. I'm Philip Wintner's widow.
Oh, yes. Won't you sit down?
Thank you.
I didn't know your husband myself, Mrs. Wintner, but I've been assured that his death was a great loss to the Army. Even more tragic for yourself, of course.
It was a horrible thing. And even worse, a terrible, unnecessary thing. He could have been safe in Washington. I arranged it all with the president himself.
I see. I
could never understand why Philip refused it, but he was a stubborn man.
Well, he was very popular here, I understand. Isn't that right, Captain Quince?
He was a good field officer, Ms. Wintner. Perhaps he wouldn't have been happy at some desk in Washington.
It might have been better for him to be a little unhappy and alive today, mightn't it, Captain?
That's hard to say, ma'am.
Well, at any rate, we're happy to have you here, Mrs. Wintner. Sorry we weren't prepared, but I'm sure Mrs. Daggett will be able to arrange things comfortably. You'll stay with my wife and me, of course.
Thank you, Major.
And perhaps we can use your visit as an excuse to liven things up around here. We've had very few social activities. Might even arrange a reception or something of the sort.
Major Daggett, I'm not here for social reasons.
Well, what I meant was...
Major Daggett, I came to get my husband's body.
Mrs. Wintner, your husband's not buried here at the fort.
I know that. But you see, I want him recovered and taken back east. I've arranged that he will be buried with full military honors in Arlington Cemetery.
But his grave is 100 miles from here, up on Lance Creek, where he was killed.
I've already come 2,000 miles. Another 100 doesn't matter.
I don't think you understand. That's Indian territory. Cheyenne and Sioux hunting ground. Treaty territory. Aside from the very real danger, my orders strictly forbid any white person to enter that region, including my own troopers.
Perhaps this letter will clear your mind. You will see it's signed by the Secretary of War himself.
Yes, I see.
So, Major Daggett, I shall want to leave for Lance Creek as soon as possible.
And you expect me to send you there with a troop escort, of course?
The letter says every assistance possible.
It also says within the scope of my orders and with due consideration for your safety.
I'm not worried about my safety, Major Daggett.
But I am.
But in a case like this...
There are no exceptions mentioned, Mrs. Wintner.
What do I care about a treaty with those savages who murdered my husband?
The treaty was made, ma'am, to prevent other men from dying the way your husband did.
Captain Quince, I'm beginning to understand why these Indian troubles go on and on. I've wondered about that. Wondered why you didn't just wipe them out. I think you're afraid of them.
It's not that easy. The Indians are people, too. They have rights.
I'm not interested in their rights, Captain Quince. And I'm not interested in your orders, Major Daggett. Am I to understand that you refuse to allow me to go to Lance Creek?
That's correct. I can't risk your life nor the lives of my men. And I won't risk a general Indian war.
Very well. Captain Quince, would you be good enough to show me to my quarters?
Of course, ma'am. Company!
Company!
Right front in the line!
Right front in the line!
Company!
Company!
Hold! Sergeant Gord.
Yes, sir.
Dismiss the company.
Yes, sir.
Company! Prepare to dismount! Dismount! Fire off!
Well, Captain Quince, it's all very impressive. The parade ground, The drilling?
Yes, it is, Ms. Wintner.
Until you remember that in spite of all the military show, you're still afraid to face the Indians.
Have you completed your tour of inspection?
Yes. Lieutenant Seibert's has shown me everything, I think. It's all very interesting. Seeing the place that Philip called home. There's one thing I'd like explained, however.
What's that, ma'am?
What could possibly have held him here? What holds you, Captain Quince?
I'm afraid I can't explain it to you, Mrs. Wintner.
I'm sure you couldn't.
May I escort you to your quarters?
Thank you. I've noticed several men dressed in buckskins lounging about the store. The sutlers, you call it. Who are they?
Civilian scouts. Charlie Reynolds, Will Granby, Pete Hazen.
It was one of them, wasn't it, who found my husband up on Lance Creek?
Yes, ma'am. Pete Hazen. He led the burial detail back.
I must talk to him sometime.
He's under the Major's orders, too, ma'am.
I meant Captain Quince. He might be able to tell me things about my husband. Things a wife would like to know.
Of course, ma'am.
You don't like me, do you, Captain?
I don't know you well enough to like or dislike you, Mrs. Wintner. But it seems plain to me that you intend to disregard every consideration to get to Lance Creek.
If you'll excuse me.
Come in.
Captain Quince reporting, sir.
Oh, Lee. I've just been thinking, Caldwell's due for a leave. Who can we send out to the Clearwater Patrol as replacement? Is Seibert's too green?
No, he'll do. He's come along fast.
All right, good.
Major, what about Mrs. Wintner?
Well, what about her?
I think she's going to make trouble.
I don't think she can. I've kept a check at the telegraph office and the mail. I think she's accepting the inevitable.
I don't. I think she's determined to go to Lance Creek, one way or another.
How can she, if I won't let her?
I don't know, but I think you'd better warn the civilian scouts, especially Pete Hazen.
Oh, he wouldn't be that much of a fool.
I wouldn't think so either. But with her, anything can happen.
I believe that. She's quite a woman. Oh, by the way, the evening social's all set up for Saturday night. Nettie's sending out the invitations today. Having a small dinner first. You're supposed to come.
Oh?
As Mrs. Wintner's escort.
Why me?
Well, you're an inmate of Old Bedlam. You're eligible.
There are other bachelor officers living there, Seibert's.
Youngsters. She's more your age. Now, don't fight it, Lee. Nettie's mind's made up.
Only one thing I don't like about your wife, Major. She's a matchmaker.
Yeah, I know. She can't help herself. Hates to see an unmarried officer, especially one as old as you. But after all, Mrs. Wintner is a widow and mighty attractive. You could do worse.
Major, some women are army, some aren't. When Phil Wintner came out to Laramie, he came alone.
She seems to fit in fine now. Maybe she's changed.
Women like that don't change.
Just the same, you'll escort her Saturday night. You better present your compliments to her tomorrow afternoon.
That an order, sir?
Tomorrow afternoon, Lee. White gloves.
Oh, Captain Quince.
Afternoon, Mrs. Daggett. I'd like to present my compliments to Mrs. Wintner.
Why, yes, of course, Captain. Only, well...
What is it, Mrs. Daggett?
Well, it's very strange. But last night, Carolyn asked not to be disturbed this morning. Said she wanted to sleep late. But when she didn't come out, even for luncheon, I got worried. So a few minutes ago, I knocked and looked in her room. She's not there, Captain. She didn't sleep in her bed last night. Captain... Where are you going?
To the settlers, Miss Daggett. You better tell the Major.
Lee, what do you make of it?
It's very simple, Major. Mrs. Wintner was last seen last night. Pete Hazen left sometime before dawn with two loaded pack mules, two horses, one rig side saddle. He left this at the settlers for you with a $20 gold piece. Guess it's his resignation. Didn't want to get arrested for disobeying orders.
Yeah, you're right.
They're on their way to Lance Creek. They got at least 11 hours start.
They've got to be stopped.
Yeah, if they're still alive.
How long will it take you to get B Company ready?
Too long. Besides, a full company up there will mean war.
You think you can get a small detachment through, 5 or 6 men?
I can try. And if we're caught, we might be able to talk our way out of it.
Well, they can't be moving very fast.
I'd say I could catch them about halfway.
All right, Lee. Take the men you want and an extra amount for each. Rations for 4 days and 200 rounds of ammunition.
50 rounds will be enough, Major. If we have to fight at all, it won't matter how much ammunition we have.
I've lost their tracks, Captain.
There. There, over there, Gorse.
Oh, yeah, that's it. I'd never have believed it, Captain. 2 days from the fort almost to Lance Creek, and they're still ahead of us.
I underestimated that woman. She's tougher than I thought.
She sure must be. Captain.
Yep. And they've seen us.
They've stopped.
Ho! Miss Wintner?
How do you do, Captain?
She gave me an awful lot of money, Captain. More than I'd ever seen in one piece.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
You're not going to stop me now, Captain. Mr. Hazen says the graves are just over that ridge there.
Miss Wintner, we're going to turn around right here and head back to the fort as fast as we can make it. Do you have any idea of the danger?
Captain. Up there on the hill.
Yeah, I see.
Riding circle, signaling.
Why, that's an Indian.
It is, Mrs. Wintner.
Oh.
Captain, what are you going to do?
Might as well go on up to Lance Creek. Do what the lady came to do.
This is it. Right over there. This one.
Just this?
That's it.
You sure?
His insignia will be inside the rocks.
It's so quiet here. So peaceful.
Right now it is. Get a spade, Jenkins.
Yes, sir.
Miss Wintner, you sure you want to go through with this?
What do you mean, Captain?
Why, it wasn't time for a proper burial.
I see. Did they do anything to him?
Cheyenne always do.
You may proceed.
All right, Jenkins. Miss Wintner, why don't you wait over there?
Captain Quince, I'm not a schoolgirl. I came this far. I can stand to watch.
All right. Pete. Pete, who is this?
That there was Sergeant Tackerberry, Captain.
One with a red mustache, Captain?
And a laugh you could hear clean across the river.
Yeah, I remember.
And that one there was Lieutenant Williams.
Yep.
Captain, is that the Lieutenant Williams my husband used to speak about in his letters?
I expect so. They were friends. All these men were his friends. Men who lived with him, fought with him, died with him. He wasn't alone, Miss Wintner. They're all buried here where they fell.
I see. Mr. Jenkins.
Ma'am?
Stop digging for a moment. Captain, you don't want me to do this. Why?
I don't think your husband would care about being buried in Arlington Cemetery.
Why? Tell me, Captain Quince. You knew him. What was he like out here?
Like any other man, not very different. But he liked it. Liked the country, the men, liked the job. He was willing to die here if necessary.
Are you trying to say that he came here to get away? That he didn't want to go back home? That he didn't care about me?
He never talked about you, Ms. Wintner.
Captain, all I want to do is take him back. Back to a hero's grave.
He's in a hero's grave. Nothing you or I can do will add to that.
You think I'm a selfish woman. I was thinking only of myself. Of my pride.
Only you can answer that, Ms. Wintner.
On the ridge, Captain.
Yeah, they didn't waste any time.
Must have been a hunting party close. They're coming down.
Must be 30 at least. Doesn't give us much chance, Captain.
Oh.
It's important to keep calm, Ms. Wintner. Very important right now.
What have I done? Bringing you men here to this.
We may be able to get out of it yet. Talbot, keep those horses under control. When they get a whiff of those Indian ponies. Ms. Wintner, what are you doing?
If anything's going to happen, I want his grave just the way it was.
Jenkins, help her.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant Gorse.
Yes, sir.
Watch her. Stay right behind her. If the Indians attack, you know what to do.
Yes, sir.
Don't miss.
I won't.
What do you think, Hazen?
Can't tell yet. They're still bunched, ain't hurrying. But they ain't gonna be friendly.
No, we're uninvited guests. Can't expect much.
They're down and stringing out.
And stopping. Right across the only way out.
Well, they won't come any closer to the graves. Cheyenne custom. Respect for the dead. Even the dead they killed. We're safe as long as we stay right here.
How long can we stay, Pete?
Captain, we might try cutting up over the ridge.
Oh, the minute we break and run, we're finished. I'll go out to them.
Might as well all go, Captain. There'll be no defending ourselves anyways.
All right. Ms. Wintner?
Looks all right now, doesn't it, Captain?
Yes, it does. Well, ma'am?
Don't worry, I'll be fine.
Good. Now, everybody will move slowly forward, leading your horses. Move easily. Don't show any fear or excitement.
It's Little Bear, Captain.
At least he can talk some. Won't have to use sign.
That's right, Captain.
I'll do the talking, Hazen.
Sure.
Greetings to Little Bear.
White soldier, give promise. Stay off Cheyenne hunting ground. Why you come?
We come in peace, not war. We don't want trouble with the Cheyenne. They don't want trouble with us.
Treaty say you stay out.
I know
that. I made them come.
The white lady came to find the grave of her husband. A warrior killed in battle here. She wants to take his body back to his home, to Washington.
What warrior?
The little captain. The captain with the yellow hair.
That one great warrior.
Captain, these are the Indians.
That's right, ma'am. Little Bear, the Cheyenne had great warriors killed here, too. But the Cheyenne could take their dead away to their proper burial place. Will Little Bear allow us to take this warrior with us and leave the hunting ground in peace?
Better leave spirit of dead in peace.
In Washington, there is a place to bury great warriors with much honor. She will take him there.
Better leave dead buried.
All right, Captain. We'll leave him. He's right. I know that now. Philip is better off here, in his hero's grave.
All right, ma'am.
Will Little Bear allow us to leave the hunting grounds in peace?
Go.
Thank you, Little Bear. All right.
Everybody mount up. Easy. We'll move out now, before he changes his mind.
Sergeant Gorse, how does it look behind?
They're turning away. I figure it's all right.
We'll keep the horses at walk just the same for a while.
Yes, sir.
Captain. Thank you.
What for, Mrs. Wintner? It was probably your presence that saved us and what you said.
No, I mean, for teaching me a lesson.
Not me, Mrs. Wintner. Let's say this country out here. It can teach you a lot of lessons. Maybe I was wrong about something, too.
What?
Oh, just something I said about people not changing. Just something I said. You know, we keep moving. We might be able to make the Daggett social Saturday night.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by John Dunkel, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Virginia Gregg, Jack Moyles, Harry Bartell, Jack Crucian, Helen Klebe, Joseph Cranston, and James Nusser.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. Half a loaf may be better than none at all when you're bargaining for bread. But every Sunday, the Edgar Bergen Show calls for a happier arrangement than that. For each half of the Edgar Bergen Show seems somehow to be better than the other half. And with so much fun in store, there's no need for compromise. Enjoy all of the lighthearted antics of Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Jack Kirkwood, Effie Clinker, Mortimer Snerd, Gary Crosby, Carol Richards, and the famous Edgar Bergen End Table Discussion Group. They'll all be with you again over most of these same stations every Sunday night. Gunsmoke, brought to you by Chesterfield. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed, thanks to Accuray. They satisfy the most. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad, the transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
There. I got enough to buy one more drink, Miss Kitty.
You shouldn't spend all your money on me, mister.
Mister? Well, listen to that. What? Ain't nobody called me mister in my whole life.
How old are you, Billy?
21.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's true.
Well, anyway, you're old enough to be called mister.
Golly, you sure make a man feel good, Miss Kitty.
Thank you, Billy. But you pick up that money now. You've had enough to drink for one night.
Oh, a couple of beers.
Save it for breakfast, Billy. You'll be glad I made you.
Now you ain't treating me like a man, Miss Kitty.
There's no reason why she should, kid. Kitty, huh? You won't have no trouble treating me like a man, Kitty.
Beat it, stranger.
What are you horning in here for?
Go on home to bed, kid. Let's you and me sit down somewhere, Kitty. Talk it over a little.
You wouldn't feel at home, stranger.
Huh?
There's no hogwaller for you to sit in around here.
People don't talk to Joe Delk like that.
Then Joe Delk had better go back to wherever it is he's got people afraid of him. Not here, mister. Not in Dodge.
Don't be afraid of me in Dodge. You just don't know I'm here yet.
Well, why don't you go let him know and leave us alone?
She's asking you, mister.
I'm telling him.
You heard her.
I'll take care of you in a minute, Kitty. As soon as I get this little blowfly off my neck. Yeah. This your money, kid?
You leave that alone.
Go on, go pick it up before you get into real trouble.
I'll kill you for that.
No, ooh. Billy, he's a gunman. Can't you tell?
I don't care what he is.
You killed him. He was only a kid.
I wouldn't care if he was a grown man.
He didn't have a chance against a professional like you.
Nobody I've ever met has. But now people begin to know Joe Delk's in town.
I never heard of Joe Delk.
Well, maybe not, mister, but you've seen what he can do.
I didn't see it.
Matt, that poor kid. I don't even know his last name.
What happened, Kitty?
I'll tell you what happened, mister. He got to crowd me, same as you're doing right now.
This is Marshal Dillon you're talking to.
Oh, Marshal Dillon, eh? Well, I don't mind eating a marshal now and then.
Did he murder the boy, Kitty?
No, he didn't, Matt. Kid drew first.
Yeah. Must have been easy for you, Delk.
Real easy, Marshal. It was kind of fun.
Fun? Killing that nice boy, fun?
Yeah, taking my time that way. What are you doing? Give me my gun.
You're not gonna be needing a gun, Delk.
Good, Matt. What you? God! He sure never expected that, did he?
No gunman would, Kitty. But he's sure never going to forget it.
introducing one of the country's best-known jazz musicians and arrangers, Mr. Bobby Haggard. How about whistling along with him?
Packs more pleasure, packs more pleasure. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
The more perfectly packed your cigarette, the more taste and mildness are released for you. Chesterfield, made by exclusive Accuray, has an open, easy draw that unlocks all the pleasure of fine tobaccos. Now, Accuray ensures an even distribution of tobacco from one end of your Chesterfield to the other. Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips, mild, yet deeply satisfying.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
To the touch, to the taste. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. By Chesterfield, mild, yet they satisfy the most.
Chester.
I let Delk out of his cage. He ain't none too spry this morning.
What do you expect me to do, you holding a shotgun on me?
How you feeling, Delk? Outside of your pride being hurt, I mean.
You know what I think of a man who fights with his hands, Marshal?
I don't care what you think about anything.
He's a coward. That's what he is.
It took you by surprise, didn't it?
Of course it did.
And I hurt you, too, didn't it, Delk? Hurt you pretty bad. You wouldn't want to go through that again, would you?
No. No, I wouldn't.
Because I'd kick you half to death next time. Now, what are you doing in Dodge, anyway?
I'm coming on the Santa Fe yesterday.
I said, what are you doing
here?
Look,
Marshal, just because I had to shoot a man in self-defense...
Boy!
He had a gun, didn't he?
Against you, he might as well have had a stick.
It was still self-defense.
There's your gun belt.
You turning me loose?
Put it on.
Okay.
Now, I can't reach you from here with my fists, Delk.
My, that was an awful chance you took, Mr. Dillon. I mean, you might have had to shoot him.
I was pretty sure he wouldn't draw, Chester.
Well, why?
The beating I gave him last night. That takes the vinegar out of a man like Delk. Kind of scares him.
You mean that's why he just walked out of here?
And it could be one reason.
One reason?
Yeah, maybe he's got something in mind.
Like what?
Like finding me when I'm not ready for him. They're putting himself behind a shotgun. They're shooting me in the back. Delk never got hurt that way before. It rattled him some. But he's not through. Not yet.
Can I borrow your spoon to stir my coffee, man?
Ah, sure, Kitty.
Thanks.
Here.
You'd think this restaurant could afford more than one spoon to two customers.
Well, if they did, they couldn't afford the quality beef they serve.
Then I won't complain. I'd hate to think of eating any lower off one of those animals.
You know something, Kitty?
Huh?
Before long, some bright fella's going to get the idea of raising cattle in one small area where they can live peaceful and grow fat and juicy.
Sounds like a great idea, Matt. Why don't you start it?
No, I got a job.
Well, sure, I forgot. After all, a job with a future like yours.
Oh, now, Kitty.
I can see your gravestone. He didn't die rich, but he sure died stubborn.
I like that. I think I'll use it.
You won't be there.
Well, maybe you'll take care of it for me, huh?
Having dinner with you is real pleasurable, Matt.
Why, thank you, Kitty.
Don't mention it.
Mr. Dillon. Hello, Miss Kitty.
Sit down, Chester. Have some coffee with us.
We ain't got time, Miss Kitty. Doc's going to be waiting outside any minute.
Doc?
He wants you to go to the Dodge house with him, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, what for?
To see Joe Delk.
Don't tell me somebody's finally shot that ape.
No, it ain't that. He was over the Texas Trail drinking all day yesterday. He sent word to Doc he's sober now, but he's got the shakes and needs something to fix him up.
Wolf poison might help.
Oh, why does Doc want me along, Chester?
Maybe he don't trust old Delk. Anyway, he says he won't go see him alone.
Yeah, well, maybe he's right.
I never heard of a gunman fool enough to drink so much he got the shakes, man.
No, neither did I, Kitty.
Maybe it ain't even true, Mr. Dillon. Maybe he's got something fancy in mind, like you said.
Yeah, maybe. You wait down here, Chester.
Yes, sir. Huh? What'd the clerk say, Matt?
Top of the stairs, the fifth room on the left.
Wouldn't surprise me if he's recovered by now.
No, what do you mean?
Yeah, it's been 2 or 3 hours since he sent for me. I didn't think he'd hurt him to live with his misery a while.
Yeah, if there was anything wrong with him at all.
No, I heard he'd been drinking yesterday. Jim Buck said he saw him over there.
Man can make a show of drinking and still be sober, Doc.
If he's got a reason, you mean.
Yeah.
Shh, wait a minute. This is the room.
Wait a minute. Listen.
Somebody's in there with him.
No, it's just Delk.
No, no. Get away. Don't hit me. Get away. Stop. I'll kill you. I'll kill you.
Matt, it's locked.
It's not out of the way, Doc.
No, no, don't hit me, Marshal. Don't hit me.
Why, he's asleep, Matt. He's dreaming.
Yeah. Hey, Delk.
No, no.
Delk, come on, wake up. Delk, come on.
Marshal, what are you doing here? Who's he?
Well, I'm Doc Adams. You're awake now, Delk. You were having a nightmare.
Yeah. I was dreaming. Where you been? I sent for you hours ago. What'd you bring the marshal for?
What in the world's going on here, Mr. Dillon?
It's all right, Chester. Bill got a little mixed up. He started seeing things.
Yeah, I just had dreaming.
Man like you can't afford a dream like that, Doc. He can't afford to get as jumpy as you are.
Doc, give me something. Give me something to take.
Oh, yes, all right. I've got some pills here somewhere. If I can just find them now. Yes, but these pills won't do you as much good as about a gallon of coffee will.
What are you staring at me for, Marshal?
Just taking a last look, Delk.
What do you mean?
2 hours from now, I don't want you anywhere near Dodge.
I ain't done nothing.
You're all through, Delk. Your gun's no use to you anymore. You're afraid.
I had a bad dream. That don't mean nothing.
You got 2 hours, Delk. Go get killed someplace else. I don't want to watch it.
Where are you listening to Gunsmoke? In your favorite easy chair? Or out driving? Oh, there you are. In the kitchen. Say, you want to make whatever you're doing more enjoyable? Have a Chesterfield. Enjoy Chesterfield's better taste and mildness. You see, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. A more perfectly packed cigarette gives you an open, easy draw that unlocks all the better taste and mildness of fine tobaccos. And Chesterfield, made by Exclusive Accuray, is more perfectly packed, with an even distribution of tobacco from one end of your Chesterfield to the other. Firm and pleasing to the lips, mild, yet deeply satisfying. Remember, to the touch, to the taste.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
Buy Chesterfield. Mild, yet they satisfy the most.
should not even be in here, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, why not, Chester?
Well, I'm broke.
Well, the beer's on me.
Oh, well, now, I surely do thank you, Mr. Dillon. I'm plumb grateful. I truly am plumb grateful to you.
I only figured on buying you one, Chester.
Oh. Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, I see him. Well, he's still got an hour.
Who's that fellow he's talking to?
Some drifter, I guess.
I'll buy you a drink, mister.
No, I ain't drinking no more. I only come in for one.
I said I'd buy you a drink.
Sorry, stranger. One's all I can take. I did my drinking yesterday.
I don't like it much when a man's downright unfriendly.
Well, some other time, mister.
I could take it. You think you're too good to drink with me.
Oh, that ain't what I'm saying. I told you why.
You'll drink with me?
No. No, I can't.
All right. You're wearing a gun.
No.
What you doing?
All right, hold it, Mr.
Marshal.
Step back, Delk.
What are you interfering for?
You ever hear of Joe Delk?
What's he got to do with this?
You were about to fight him.
Joe Delk? Nah, that couldn't be him.
Oh, why not?
Delk wouldn't take that kind of talk. He'd have killed me right off.
Now, you're just lucky, mister.
You really Joe Delk, mister?
I am.
Look, I didn't mean nothing. I didn't know. I gotta be going anyway.
Well, Delk?
It ain't 2 hours, Marshal.
I said I didn't want to watch you get killed here. You go find yourself a horse. I'll be at my office for 30 minutes, then I'm going to come looking for you.
The 30 minutes is up, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah.
You reckon he's left?
I hope so, Chester.
I feel kind of sorry for him.
Do you?
It's him.
Now, just take it easy, Marshal. I ain't looking for trouble. I want to talk to you.
All right, talk.
You seen it? That fellow over at the saloon?
Yeah, what about him?
I backed down, Marshal. I was afraid of him. Don't you understand that?
He was no gunman, though.
Of course he was. Something's wrong with me, Marshal. Ever since that beating you gave me.
What did you want to see me about, Doc?
You gotta help me.
Help you?
I'm going to take my gun off. I'm through gunfighting, but you got to protect me. You got to do it, Marshal.
I'm sorry, Doc. There's nothing I can do for
you. I'll get killed. There's men all over looking to kill me.
You should have thought about that a long time
ago. Let me stay here, Marshal. You tell everybody to leave me alone. I'll die if you don't.
Delk, let me ask you something. How many men have you killed in your time?
I don't know a lot of them. What difference is
it? How many like that boy you shot down the other night?
You're against me. You ain't gonna help me.
No, I'm not gonna help you. Because you're a killer, Delk. You're nothing but a murderer.
All right. I'll go. I don't know where. And I'll go.
Wait a minute, Delk. You ever hear that saying about how a man who lives by the sword dies by the sword?
Yeah. I heard that somewhere.
Well, it's true, you know.
I guess it's gonna be true for me.
Yeah.
You know something, Marshal?
What?
I can't think of no reason why someday
He ain't gonna be true for you.
In a moment, our star, William Conrad.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
Chesterfield, made by Exclusive Accuray, packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. Unlocks all the pleasure of fine tobacco.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
Firm and pleasing to the lips, Chesterfield, mild. Yet they satisfy the most.
You know, people on the frontier look down on a buffalo skinner. They referred to him as a stinker, and they avoided him. But next week, one of these outcasts wins the respect of the whole of Dodge. And that was the West. Good night.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were John Daner, Sam Edwards, and Clayton Post. Parley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty.
Smokers, this is it. L&M filters. So good to your taste. So quick on the draw.
Make today your big red letter day, your L&M red letter day. Superior taste and filter, it's the miracle tip. Make today your big red letter day. Change to L&M today.
L&M, so good to your taste.
So quick on the draw.
Get L&M today.
Relax with L&M. So good to your taste, so quick on the draw.
Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.